What's up, everybody? Chris Manning here. Evan Damrell's with me. We're live here on YouTube, on Twitch, on other platforms, talking about the Cavs. We'll talk about some Ben Simmons. We'll talk about the coaching news on the edge of the roster and into the Canton Charge. We'll talk about other stuff. We'll take your questions at the end of this. We're planning on going for roughly an hour, maybe a little less, maybe a little more. But if you have questions, please drop them in the chat, and we'll get to them later in the show. But first up, Evan, how are you on this Wednesday, September 22nd?
I'm pretty good, man. First off, Judah is right in the chat. Shouts to Judah. He followed us on Twitter today. I was going to send you a screenshot of it, but I had to start setting up for the show. But it's a blessed day, man. We're already getting questions already, so this is going to be a good time. How are you?
We're 1 week away from Phoebe Bridgers, my guy.
That's true. And if the weather holds up, as long as it's not rainy, but if it's this cold outside, I'm going to be a very happy camper the whole time because I love me some cool fall weather. And that's the other thing that made me feel like I'm in a good mood in general today, which is, you know, rare because I'm generally grumpy about most things or cynical. But maybe it's just the gray weather. Maybe it's the rain pattering against my window. It's like I'm sitting there enjoying a nice cup of coffee. I'm like, I'm full fall mode at this point. This is lovely.
Yeah, fall is my the best season.
It is. I mean, I'm a winter baby, and I'm firmly of the mentality that it can snow on Christmas, and then after that, I want snow to go away forever. Like, I'm done. But my birthday's in February, and usually there's some apocalyptic snowstorm in Northeast Ohio. But when I turned 28, it was 20 great because there wasn't an apocalyptic snowstorm for once.
Well, it's, you know, global warming, Evan.
Well, you're just, you know, fake news over here. But Chris, who is sponsoring part of today's episode?
Look, we're brought to you by Thursdays on the Locked On NBA podcast. That's Matt Moore. That's Jackson Gatlin. Locked NBA podcast host Jackson Gatlin and Matt Moore telling you whose NBA stock is up and who's down. Follow the Locked NBA podcast account today on YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts.
You are Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Evan. So we should start with Ben Simmons because I feel like we have to. So the latest news is just like the slowly continuing escalation of that news story about how he's not going to report the Sixers camp. We'll see how that goes. This is very much, we'll see who blinks first in a lot of this. I think, you know, Tom Ziller and I think Bobby Marks both did really interesting articles this week about like star players asking out. And like, you know, I know people can listen to this or hear us and reach up on Twitter and get like all up in arms about Ben Simmons and how good he really is. I think Ben Simmons IMO is very, very good. You know, flaws, obviously.
ESPN thinks he's the 28th best player in the league.
I mean, I don't think that's like crazy, you know.
He was 16 last year. He just dropped 12 spots because of the playoff performance.
Yeah, like you can do some real interesting stuff, I think, with Ben Simmons on your basketball team. But I there's been some people out in the dumb website that is twitter.com saying, oh, the Cavs are in on a deal for Ben, like these people with sources. Saying that Ben Simmons is, there's a trade, that there's momentum, that, you know, it's blah, blah, blah. I'm going to say, number one, no, I don't believe that is true. Everything that I sort of understand about this is that Cleveland is not a leader in the clubhouse for Ben Simmons by any stretch of the imagination. And secondly, if you're going to like put that out there in hopes of getting people to like retweet or tweet out like a platitude, as I saw one person do, that was just like, the Cavs are monitoring Ben Simmons situations, like, no, S-H-I-T, Sherlock, like that's what every team in the league is doing in regards to Ben Simmons status at the bare minimum. They're not doing their job if they're not doing that. Like, you have to also, I think, note that, again, this remains extremely complicated for the Cleveland Cavaliers to make a Ben Simmons trade. It was much easier to do I think the Prince deal would have made a little more sense just in terms of some facilitating there. Unless Kevin Love's head is going out, there's like a lot of different things where like, what are you going to include? I still don't think that the kind of package Philly clearly is looking for is like available from the Cavs. And like, you think you could do this exercise with Cleveland and I think Minnesota, If these are teams that need to loop in a third team to direct stuff to Philly to get Ben Simmons, it just becomes so complicated. I don't know where he's going. I don't know when this is going to play out. It's obviously the biggest story in the league right now as we gear up to the season before we get it back to actual basketball and everything. But like, I just still maintain that I think it would be pretty shocking, honestly. Like I would be floored, you know, if the Cleveland Cavaliers were able to do a Ben Simmons trade. I just don't see it being a thing.
I would be too, especially if it's just a one-for-one trade. I don't think the Cavs have the assets and the ammunition. And like Chris and I chat, and he was sending some of these to me, and I just kind of chuckled to myself. I'm like, okay, I'll just share what I know. I think the Cavs' chances are suboptimal. Like, if you held a gun to my head, I think there's a 10 to 20% chance that the Cavs could pull this trade off, because let it be known that Kobe Altman, if he wants something, will go out and acquire the assets needed for the asking team, because that's how the Lauri Markkanen trade happened, where they initially offered Larry Nance and Chicago said they didn't want Larry Nance. They wanted a first and a second. So then they tried Larry Nance in a second, and they're like, no, we want a first and a second. So Cleveland went to Portland and said, hey, we'll give you Larry Nance for a first round pick. They rerouted the first round pick to Chicago, got Lauri Markkanen out of it. We'll see how that works out. I think Larry's a great fit in Portland. I'm really excited to watch how that unfolds. There's two guys that get us now. So I think slowly but surely the city of Portland will be Browns fans, and it'll be the official like Browns, other Browns bar location is like the one in Portland. But I'm just, yeah, I don't know. I think if it's like a one-for-one offer, the Cavs just don't have the ammunition. Like, people are floating the idea of Ricky Rubio and Colin Sexton instead of Kevin Love and Colin Sexton, and you keep Kevin Love on the roster, because I guess if you look from a team-building aspect, you have more spacing theoretically if you keep Kevin Love on the roster. But at the same time, if you're feeling like that's such a huge downgrade from getting for Ben Simmons to get Ricky Rubio, who by all stretches of the imagination is a good playmaker and he's like an okay player. Offensively, he's not the best shooter, so you're not getting like a huge shooting upgrade. And I think like the fit for Colin would be pretty ideal. Like, I've been kind of playing this out in my head over the last few days, but if you somehow paired Colin Sexton with Matisse Thybulle and Danny Green, and you play Colin at the one, like right there alone, like that perimeter defense is lethal. And then you have Joel Embiid just kind of having more spacing because of it. I mean, that's not a bad place to be in to begin with, but I don't know, because there's also spacing concerns when you send Ben Simmons to Cleveland too. Like, I think this is a clear talent play if the Cavs are able to get him, but I think this is going to drag out for a while. Like, we're 5 days away from media day. Kevin Love is clearly back in the building, which we'll talk about that in a bit for the Cavs. So maybe he's working out to show that his Achilles is fine before they ship him off or they give him the John Wall treatment. But at least for now, he's in Cleveland. Colin Sexton's working out in Cleveland. These guys are gearing up for training camp. I think the Cavs are pretty much going to stand pat and just stick with what they have right now and just kind of see what unfolds. But in all honesty, with the Rosas firing, I feel like in my heart of hearts, a Timberwolves trade may happen, especially if like the Wolves make like a rash decision to try and make a huge upgrade to get Ben Simmons, and that could be D'Angelo Russell and picks. And or if the Wolves are foolish enough, they somehow include Anthony Edwards in the equation, which they shouldn't, but you never know. The Wolves are a very unstable organization, so it'd be interested to see what happens there. But I just think Cleveland is at the absolute bottom of the list. Golden State's officially out, and Joe Lacob got fined $50,000 for it, which is still really, really funny to me. But other than that, I just don't think Ben Simmons is going to be a Cavalier. And like, we've been talking about this every episode. Like, I understand it's big news. Like, this is arguably one of the top players at his position in the league. The Cavs got him. That's a huge deal. And like, it would be remiss of us not to talk about it. But like, we've spun this thread so many times that I don't know what else there is to talk about other than the fact that spacing wise, it would suck. But the defense between Okoro and Simmons on the perimeter with Allen manning the paint and possibly Mobley as well, like, good luck scoring on that team. But Darius Garland and Lauri Markkanen are going to be working overtime to be providing spacing to make the rest of those guys work offensively.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to someone that was like, I think it's like a 1% chance or lower that like Ben Simmons is traded to the Cavs. And again, maybe something can happen. Maybe that like this, maybe like I think some of the intel, like again, like I think people have to remember that like sometimes like people even within organizations know very different things. I mean, I think part of the difficulty of doing reporting, and I think specifically doing news breaking when like a lot of the news is the transaction news, I should say, specifically kind of ends up in sort of a couple of key spots there. Like, I think you often have to, it takes a lot of time to build up stuff, and a lot of what you may hear, a lot of what you may be told often can be sort of like, I don't want to say like not real, but like it's to quote Obi, it's from a certain point of view. Like it is from a certain mm-hmm. perspective. And like, again, like I just think if you think about this practically, if you think about a Ben Simmons to Cleveland trade practically, at the end of the day, it is not really a thing that screams like it makes some sense. The one that if we're looking at a team that I think would be like it makes more sense.
Are you saying makes some sense in terms of asset accumulation for Philadelphia? Because it makes total sense for Cleveland to get Ben Simmons if he's available. Yeah,
like
for that
Philly has Joel Embiid, who's like 28 years old and on in the middle of his like he's locked up and stuff. But like you have to win now with Joel Embiid. Like the time mm-hmm. is now to go for it. Like,
and the shelf life on his health is.
You can't take it. Ideal. Yeah, you can't. You just can't take it for granted. So like, I like you're not gonna like Sexton and stuff is not necessarily like the win all in kind of chips you want to trade away Ben Simmons, even if you feel like that's the thing you need to do. So it's kind of tricky. I think like I wouldn't be surprised like Toronto ends up being the thing. Just like Goran Dragic can be more easily traded at the beginning of October. You know,
I really like the Dragic pick. Like you floated that idea to me yesterday. I think. Time is a construct in my eyes right now, but Dragic and Philly would make a ton of sense. Would it just be Dragic?
But it's like, I don't know. I haven't thought enough about it. We can ask, go to check out Locked On Raptors if you want more. Yeah, of that.
Check out Locked On Dinos.
Yeah, but. I just like this is like a bit, like until. If Ben Simmons had been traded for Cleveland, we'll do a whole Ben Simmons week. I have nothing else to say about Ben Simmons and the Cavs. Like I am tapped out.
We'll eat nothing but Australian dishes, and
Evan will eat a whole jar of Vegemite on the air.
I've had Vegemite. Have you ever had Vegemite before? Yeah,
I don't like it.
It's foul.
We'll drink a Foster's.
Foster's is awful too.
Yeah, but like I'm just coming up with generic Australian food, Evan.
That's fair. We can get Macca, which is just McDonald's, so there's a bright side.
We'll hit up Deli through his camp and be like, hey Deli, like what should we
avocado toast?
He'd be like, yeah, just eat some avocado.
Avocado toast with olive oil, salt, sea salt, and a little bit of lemon. It's actually a delicious dish, but I always think of Del Vadovo whenever I see avocado toast on the menu at some place. I'm just like, Deli would smash this plate.
Well, TBT, best avi toast recipe. You get the English muffin from the Dave's Killer English Muffins, supporting prison labor. Or people coming out of prison to get them jobs in the bakery. It's really good
stuff. I would say, like, excuse me? Like someone clipped that. That's Locked On Cavs out of context. Supporting prison labor. You got me as well too.
Look up Dave's Killer Bread. It's good stuff. And half an avocado split between the two sides of the muffin and some everything but the bagel seasoning. That's all you need. I'm telling you.
It's good. No, the everything bagel seasoning is a game changer too.
Well, you can Evan, but like, you know what else? Well, you know what else people need? It's the only thing people need.
DirecTV.
That's right. Look, does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and it's a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV. DirecTV Stream, excuse me. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package.
Today's episode of Locked On Cavs is also brought to you by Sleeper. In 2018, the fantasy sports experts at Sleeper realized that fantasy basketball was broken, much like my heart when Chris's mom told me that we had to just be friends. Games were being won and lost based on whose players had more scheduled games.
I'm going to interrupt this real quick. Can't wait to talk to Ellen in person next week and just like ask her how she puts up with you, because she's a saint for that, honestly.
God works in mysterious ways, but games were games are being won and lost based on whose players had more scheduled games that week. It made no sense and required very little strategy. So, in 2020, Sleeper released a brand new way of playing fantasy basketball. It's called Game Pick, and it's only available on Sleeper. In Game Pick, owners pick a single game per week for each starter to count towards their team's total score, ensuring an even number of games played between opponents. The day of losing because your opponent's player simply had more scheduled games to play in that week are over. The day of mindless daily busy work are over. The days of giving up halfway through the season because of that busy work, also over. In Game Picks, you pick one game per week for each player based on player matchups, home versus away, opponent's defensive ranking, pace of play, and more. All that adds up to more strategy and less busy work. Whether you prefer Redraft, Keeper, or Dynasty, Game Picks has you covered. Sleeper cracked the fantasy basketball code. If you play fantasy football, if you prefer building out a weekly strategy versus daily busy work, you're going to love Game Picks. Download the Sleeper app and start a league with your friends today. You will not be disappointed. Sleeper's one-of-a-kind Game Picks is the most strategic fantasy basketball experience in the industry. And it's just super cool. I use Sleeper for fantasy football, and I think I'm going to set up a fantasy basketball league because of this.
Be fun. Maybe we'll do a Lockdown Cavs listener league if people are interested. We'll do like a raffle and do one. I can't manage really one team. That's too much. But Evan, let's move on here. Where do you want to go next? Do you want to like do Kevin Love stuff? Do you want to do?
Oh, I love to talk about. Let's talk about other things we were tired of talking about. Kevin Love. Yeah, I haven't checked Socs at all, but I'm sure there's a bunch of man babies on Twitter right now having a meltdown that Kevin Love is at Cleveland Clinic Court shooting uncontested jumpers by himself. And I just want to know why. Like, what did Kevin Love personally do to you? Like, people say, like, oh, he stole that money, he should give it back. No, the Cavs offer that extension and Kevin Love intelligently took it. It just didn't work out the way it did. I'm personally sad to see this is how things went. Contrary to popular belief, I know Kyrie and LeBron were vital to that team's success, and Dan and LeBron will never really have a good relationship, and Kyrie and the organization. I think Kyrie smoothed a lot of things over after that game where Colin absolutely cooked the Nets big three during their debut and saying like, oh, I have nothing but fond memories in Cleveland. But I just want one member of that championship team to be on good terms with the organization. And right now Kevin Love's like already on thin ice to begin with because he's frustrated with the situation, but like, it goes both ways. Like, I don't think he's going to go anywhere unless he agrees to a buyout. And I don't think the organization is really too keen or happy about giving him that extension with the power of hindsight. So maybe he makes the most of a crappy situation at this point. He accepts the fact, at least according to Jason Lloyd, he's accepted the fact that he's resigned to more of a bench role, maybe playing 15, 20 minutes a night. And in theory, Kevin Love, when he came back from injury last year, his calf injury was bombs away from three. He didn't make a ton of them, but he increased the Cavs' three-point attempts, which is a welcome sign. And if you bring in Markkanen as the starter for now, and you have Mobley coming off the bench with Kevin Love, and you play either Mobley as a 4 or 5, and you play Love as a 4 or 5, like theoretically, that spacing that Love provides will make Mobley's life a hell of a lot easier. Because I don't know if you paid a lot of attention to the Cavs, but yeah, Kevin wasn't making shots, but defense has still respected the fact that he can take a three and make it at any time. Like, he has gravity on the floor.
Yeah, he's like a name brand kind of thing defense to react to and prepare for, because he's Kevin Love, NBA champion, at a time one of the very best players in the league.
Yeah, I mean, literally was one of the best at his position when he was traded to Cleveland and then got compartmentalized into a third fiddle role on the big three. So, and, you know, just kind of came the butt of everybody's joke. I think it's mean tweets where he's like, well, something happened. Better blame Kevin Love. Like, yeah, I think it's funny, but I also just think it's frustrating. I think, like, you need to see how this plays out. I will be frustrated if Kevin Love doesn't have professionalism again. And, you know, the cynic in me is kind of setting my watch to count up until Kevin Love has an inevitable meltdown. It could very realistically happen during that West Coast road trip early in the season when the Cavs really start showing their inexperience and youth on the floor. But yeah, he's had a lot of fuck ups in the since that signing that extension, but I'm more sad than anything to see this is how it's going to end. Like, it's going to probably be a buyout, or it's going to be a trade. He'll pen a really nice thoughtful letter through the Players Tribune or something like that, and then move on and probably get bought out and then go play in like Brooklyn or with the Lakers. And then we'll just go watch the rest of the former Cavaliers have a happier time.
Yeah. I mean, number one, I thought that the shirt, I love like when like they make, gear that has like the old school, like kind of vintage, like gym shirt that they would have in like the 70s or 80s, like with like the PE, like the kind of old PE shirt kind of look, you know what I'm talking about? Like the kind of the tank he's wearing in that video, you know what I mean? Like with the very simple logo. I love that. I'm a sucker for that. So that look good. That's my
biggest. I like those warm-ups a lot. Like Zerm was asking for them, and I'm like, yeah, I like those warm-ups too. They look sharp.
Well, the other thing, it's like it's a Nike template because it's like the same like style of like those Hawkins Phys Ed shirts they did a couple years ago with Stranger Things. Like it's just a template with smacking on other stuff. Anyway, but like that video to me just means like it doesn't mean anything. Like I still think like we're
tested shots in an open gym.
He's arrived in Cleveland is the news of that, so to speak, right? Yeah. Like that is it. That is really it.
We had either a listener or somebody who follows me on social who pointed out that Kate was talking on an IG live story that they're getting ready to head back to Cleveland from New York like a week ago. So this was going to happen.
Yeah, but I just respect that someone's like sleuthing like Kate Bach's Instagram stories. Like also like you were just like, oh yeah, Kate. Like you just referred to her by her first name, like y'all are pals.
Yeah, me.
You eat avocado toast.
Me, Kate, Kev, Deli, and everyone's babies and dogs just eating avocado toast.
Evan, our best they go life. To the marble room, and Evan just picks up the entire bill.
Well, like, I'm like, you know, I walk up to our Lockdown Cavs valet, and he's like, which Cybertruck, Mr. Dameron? I'm like, I'll go with number 5 tonight. And then just forget to charge the battery, just park in the street and say, you know what? It's fine. It's for the kids, and then let somebody else plug it in and take it home. Lucky, lucky them. But, yeah, you know, after losing the chat points this out, and I want to talk about this real quick, at least the divorce of Kevin probably won't be as messy as the one with JR, because I don't think Kevin is going to have quite the meltdown JR will. But at the same time, he could be shown the door like JR, much like John Wall has been shown the door by the Rockets. But with the difference being that Kevin is still allowed to practice and get treatment for probably his nagging calf injury from Cavs doctors, where JR more or less was told to kick rocks and he went back to New Jersey, quit drinking, and now he's a college man. He's about to finish the 4-0. So the JR Smith college success story is like one of my favorite things from towards the end of 2021.
Yeah, the other thing that I'll say is if I remember correctly, JR's last time in the arena was last time I saw him in the arena, it was like Jordan Clarkson media availability, and he was drinking a Coors Light like off to the side before he left.
Just keep the other chill.
The other thing is like, look, like I it may not be as like ugly as that. Like I think the PR will be seemingly like handled better here and on both sides to some degree, but like, I mean, it's already kind of ugly and uncomfortable, and look, like we don't, I mean, like you would hope that in time, like time will heal all frustrations, but like, it's not like JR like is, or maybe it's better now. I don't know. Like it wasn't that long ago that he wasn't like necessarily like him and the Cavs weren't on like good terms, you know? Because of how things ended. Like, I don't think like there's necessarily like going to be like kumbaya. We're going to be best buds right away between Kevin and the team when it's said it done. Like, I don't think we're there with that. So I don't know, but we got to take another break.
We do
pay some bills, and I'm going to tell everyone about our friends at Built Bar. So Built Bar, everyone knows, wouldn't be Locked On Cavs episode. We didn't have a Built Bar ad, and they're the best tasting protein bar ever. Cookie dough right now, by the way, is back in the store. So go order that, and you should use the promo code LOCKED15 to save 15% on that order, that massive order of cookie dough Built Bars. They have a ton of other great flavors, coconut, raspberry, salted caramel, a bunch of others. And if you want to try Mixbox, you haven't tried them or just want to try them all, you get 2 of each of the 9 flavors in one box. And check that out. Remember, 17 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Order today. Get that cookie dough or that cookie dough or that cookie dough. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team as well. So go to built.com, promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your order. Again, it's LOCKED15 for 15% off at the built.com.
We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to their website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive a 100%, yes, that is right, 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Do not forget to use promo code NFL100 and also use promo code LOCKEDON. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, do not wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports action, and they're also the exclusive betting partner of the Locked On Podcast Network.
All right, Evan, so let's talk about some of the coaching news. We got some news this week that the Cavs are having a little bit of in-house switcheroo here. Dan Giroux, who was an assistant coach last year, you may have seen him on some of like the halftime interview segments that they do on Bally.
Was he on the chase down? Which assistant was on the chase down?
Think so. You're asking me to memorize what Justin Rome's doing on a day-to-day basis. Not that I don't have time for that.
Justin Rowan's a man of many talents, but Dan Giroux is the head coach of the Cleveland Charge.
Let me
calling him the Canton Charge whenever I'm writing like emails or like typing something up too, and I'm like, no.
So Dan Giroux was an assistant, did a lot of really good player development work. That's kind of one of the things he's known for, which why this sort of makes sense. He's going to take over as the head coach of the Cleveland Charge. And Nate Ryan King, who has been the head coach of the Charge for several years now, I believe he succeeded Jordy Fernandez, if I'm not mistaken. I might be wrong about that, but I think he's been there since Jordy left, is going to come up and join the staff for the Cavs. So, Evan, what struck me about this, and the team announced this on Wednesday. Kudos to Chris Friedwerk, Cleveland.com, who reported this first on Tuesday. Broke the story, which is good for Chris. One of the things that I'll just say about that,
cheese himself,
caused me to get an argument with someone on Twitter, which is just bad vibes. But one of the things that I think strikes me about this is that I think this is in theory, and this isn't to denigrate Ranking, who I've talked to a bunch of times. There's actually old episodes of the podcast where you can hear Nate on them a long time ago. Don't know if they're worth listening to now, but they exist.
This was life before the Shure mic for Chris Manning. He's embarrassed about any episode he's recorded with anyone before it.
I'm embarrassed about anything I've ever said on a microphone because that's just who I am. But he's a really smart guy. Works with the Great Bend national team, and I think is a good coach who's done a really good job. But what I would seem to think here. Is that you move Giroux over there. They've brought in other people on the back end of the Charge executive staff in recent years, like someone from Israel, and Gansey obviously was Mike Gansey, who's now Kobe's right-hand man in the front office. We used to be the general manager of the Charge back when the year that Larry Sanders had that little dip into the G League waters with Canton.
Fun times.
Yes. The thing that I think about the thing that I feel about this is that I think that what you're saying is you're going to take Giroux, who's a young coach, who's a lot of player development, is that in theory, this could mean that you're going to try and integrate this a little bit better. This is someone you're keeping in-house. They're going to play, obviously, in Cleveland now at the Wolstein Center. I tend to think that this is something where it's Giroux is going to work with a lot of guys hands-on. The integration, because he already has these relationships with the guys you have, you just bring in Ryan King, who's, I think, a good coach, and he's still going to, Giroux is still going to be around, and you have this, I think, better ecosystem. And if you're going to actually use the G League to its max capacity, this isn't something that's going to pay off in 2 years, maybe not for a couple of years. It's hard for me to know exactly what the runtime on sort of your payback is going to be on this. But I think if you're actually investing in it in this way and trying to more integrate it closely with the team and put a guy that JB knows, that the organization knows, as the head coach, I think that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, it does make a lot of sense. And if you look at it, Ranking is I guess a combination of him and Sidney Lowe are going to be the replacements for the absence left by Lindsey Gottlieb in terms of player development. I think Sidney Lowe is also really helpful because he has really wealth, like a wealth of experience in terms.
Yeah, he's like the old head on the roster a lot of ways. Because a lot of the assistants the Cavs have are pretty young, like J.J. Outlaw, who does a lot of Darius Garland's development work, is very young, and coaches the summer league team. Antonio Lang's on the younger side. Like Lowe is, probably the oldest guy on the staff, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think he is, unless. You know, because JB is 47, 48. Like, this is a very young coaching staff. This is a very young team. I think there's going to be frustrations and growing pains no matter what. I think it's going to be the same way on this coaching staff as well. Like, did Jordy spent time as an assistant with Cleveland, but like a very low-ranking assistant. Then he went down to Canton and worked his way up the ranks and became the head coach after, I believe, Alex Jensen left to go coach in Utah. The charge are actually kind of like a pipeline for some pretty gifted young assistants. Like there's some good assistants that have come out of the Cavs nucleus, and that's through the Canton charge. But I absolutely agree. I think player development is going to be paramount. I think the Cavs utilizing this properly, like this is a good situation for Dylan Windler, who's returning from injury. Like if the Cavs can't find him minutes right away, they send him over to the Wolfteen Center and let him play 25, 30 minutes a night. If they feel comfortable with that, to kind of ramp him up and get him ready for like with some conditioning, because yes, it's not NBA level, but it's still professional level basketball. It's better than him wearing a suit every night or wearing his warm-ups, sitting on the bench and not playing at all. Or you have a guy like Taco Fall who may make the final roster, but Broderick Thomas is a two-way guy and still befuddles me. But I guess maybe that summer league performance didn't turn the Cavs off too much. And I talked to one exec in the Cavs front office, and they always say there's layers to a lot of these things. It's really easy to crystallize stuff at the moment, but I don't know. So I can't judge the Broderick Thomas signing too much, but like Taco Fall will be an option down in Cleveland as well. Like I think that'll just make it a lot more fun to go cover charge games. Like if there's like a dead night and the Cavs are on the road and like I don't want to stay up late and cover them, maybe I'll go cover a charge game or something. I'm just interested, and I think I'm going to go to his media availability on Saturday and just ask Joe straight up, like, do you think this is an avenue now for the team? Like, the team has used the charge in the past, but, like, there's a decent distance from Canton to Cleveland where, like, now you can send guys, like, right next door to the Wolfteen Center. You can have them work with the team. You're keeping them all in the same ecosystem and system in itself. I think they're going to be using part of Cleveland Clinic courts to practice as well. So, like, they are in the Cavs' greater nucleus at this point. So I'm interested to see what they do with that and how they go about it. I think them having open tryouts is kind of a neat thing too. So like there could maybe some like local kids.
I mean, the open tryouts is like a thing they've done for a while. Like that in itself isn't new.
Chris, it's okay. You can keep it chill. We all know you're going to show up and try out.
I'm absolutely not doing that. That sounds awful.
They're going to interview you like, how do you feel about prison labor? And you just go, so then. Yeah, I just think it's an interesting development. I think it's a good call. I think Giroux will be, this is a good experience builder for him too, because you don't want to throw him into the, like the fire of making him the lead assistant, because then I don't know, you don't want to do him the disadvantage for sure. Like if you look at it from a player development standpoint, like Lindsay Gottlieb was that, like before she took the Cleveland job, she was strongly considered to take the Iowa Wolves head coaching job. So she would be running the Timberwolves G League development program. But she took the Cleveland offer instead. So if you want more NBA coaching experience, like you go down to, I guess this would be like AAA at this point. You go down to AAA, earn your stripes, and you can come back up and either interview for a head coaching job or really be like a lead assistant and fully have a grasp of how to like, and find what your niche and your role are in this league too. Like you could be a big man player development coach, a wing development coach, a guard development coach. You could be an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. You could just be the vibes guy like Steve Nash. Like there's so many options out there. And I think this is a really good opportunity for Giroux. I really think this is a good opportunity for the charge. I really do think this is a good move overall.
Yeah, I would also just note that I tend to think that we don't exactly know, like, I think what the sort of level and integration and everything that goes along with the G League sort of is. Like, I think, like, we have, I don't think that nut has been cracked yet. We don't exactly know how, like, a real kind of minor league works for the NBA because, like, guys come to the league so much younger. I mean,
there's like, limited it's properly utilizing it too. Like the Heat, pretty good example of it.
Yeah, and like I think Toronto, I think is another really good example of it. And I think Cleveland and moving everything to Cleveland instead of Canton is going to be it's also clearly like a business thing. Like, I think you're trying to make it a more viable, like, economic thing for your organization. But like, it just, this is never going to be like an apples to apples thing where it's like the NFL has, you know, that has the college football, and like that is your integration. Like Major League Baseball, you know, they have wage suppression is a whole other severe issue with minor league baseball, but it's like you have that system in place and guys take get time to play in the minors and develop. Like the NBA, it's like you don't get that. And when guys have, when I, what is kind of going to happen is like the really interesting young guys that go to the G League are going to go to the Ignite probably, or maybe there's a Ignite 2 or another name that they come up with. They're going to be based in Cali or New York or somewhere. That'll be those teams. And then you'll have guys do NIL. Like, I think you'll see more guys like Amoni Bates taking like graduating early, going to do 2 years at a program and collecting NIL money. And that's I think the path for like a successful G League or NBA is not to develop like your next star player. Although that's gonna probably happen at some point. Like you're gonna get a guy that's been developed through the G League in your organization that like pops in a really meaningful way at some point. Like it's bound to happen at some point that I don't know, but I think you'll see, like, if teams can develop successful G League programs, they will be able to develop lower drafted guys that maybe don't have the pedigree of like a first round pick or whatever, maybe guys that came back from overseas or something, and turn them in and help them develop into like rotation guys. Like, I think that's where you're trying to get to with your program and make it successful. And it's going to be guys in that, you know, 20 to 24, 25 range, kind of that prime player development, kind of the end of that. If you're going to 25, kind of when teams have been shown a willingness to kind of develop and help guys at skills. Mm-hmm. But Evan, we're going to pause here now. We're going to come back and we're going to move into the Q&A section of this live. So we're going to pause, drink some water, and we'll be right back.